Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How many know that the Lord speaks to me a lot at the park? And the Lord dropped this message in my heart at the park. And I was going up at, there's this place where I run at Purcell Park. And you go around the curve and you go up a hill, and it's because of my knee, I do a little walking right there, and he talks to me when I'm walking, not when I'm running. Amen. Maybe he gets more of my attention when I'm walking than when I'm running. Amen. That's sort of like life so many times. We get so busy running that sometimes we miss the voice of the Lord, and we don't hear him because we got so busy. But I was walking up the hill, And the Lord dropped this into my heart. I heard the word minefields. Minefields. And a minefield is where the enemy would set a trap. Most of the time, as a former military man, most of the time the booby traps were set to hurt you, to maim you and not kill you, because it took more people to take care of somebody that was maimed than a dead person. And what the Lord was speaking to me about was M-I-N-D, mind fields, and how the adversary is always setting booby traps. Amen. And the booby traps are always to harm and to hurt. So today, we're going to deal with this subject, hopefully with the help of the Holy Spirit for sure. And verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the title of this morning's message is Minefields. And we're going to look at the imaginations, the images, and the imprisonment. And the impartation is the four things I want to share with you today. Can we lift the word together? I just love coming into unity. So let's get into unity. Let's come into an agreement today. Can you repeat it to me? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to do something in every heart and in every life of everyone that's gathered. Again, I pray as the apostle prayed, Father God, speak to me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and all is done, all glory, all honor, and praise will be unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have your way in this atmosphere, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So first he says, casting the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Casting down imaginations. Now, when the apostle is speaking about imaginations, he's not saying that we can't imagine things. He is speaking about evil imaginations, imaginations that go contrary to the word of God. Matter of fact, one of the most beautiful songs were ever written was written by Michael W. Smith, says, I can only imagine what it would be like. I mean, so I'm not saying that we can't have vision and we can't have imagine things, but what he is speaking about here is evil imaginations. So at first, imaginations, I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon and all of his wisdom. Some of evil imaginations are constantly trying to divide the body of Christ. Wicked imaginations are always trying to bring discord amongst the brethren. The word of God says in verse number 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. So we're looking down, we're casting down these imaginations. And God's letting us know that these imaginations are going to come. But we got to take authority over them. We're going to minister there. The Apostle Paul would tell us in Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, verse number 18. The word of God says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, into birds and four-footed beasts, and creepy things. In other words, they were imagining things. They were taking idols. They were placing things that, making things more important than God. The word of God tells you and I in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Amen. In other words, those things in our imagination that take precedence over the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the world we're living in right now, we can get so busy, amen, in the world that we're living that we really don't have any time left for God. Amen. And that's why God says to you and I, if you put him first, then he'll be with you through your day. Most of the time when you don't put him first, you look and you get in a snag or in trouble and you go looking for him, and it's kind of difficult to find him at that time. Amen. It's easier to find them before the troubles of the day come. Amen. So he says, in, when we're talking about the imaginations, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse number 8. The prophet said this. He said, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. You know, there's a scripture where the word of God says, well, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's into sowing and reaping. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground around your heart, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. So when he's talking at first that we got to cast down these imaginations, he didn't stop there. He said, secondly, and everything that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God. And what the Lord was speaking to me about there was images. And one of the biggest images God was speaking to my heart about is images we have about ourselves. He reminded me in Matthew 23. How many know that God's looking for humility and humbleness? Amen. I don't know. How many followers of Jesus do we have in the room? Amen. We're followers of Jesus. We're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts of itself. We're these images that come. The images I'm speaking about is in the mind field. Thoughts of the mind. And he says to us, Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. We're to walk in humility. We're walking in humbleness. We're the servants of God. We're here to serve one another. We're here to serve you. Amen. God didn't send me to lord over anyone. God sent me to be humbly serve you and minister to you. And love you just the way you are, and to love you so much with God's word that you don't stay that way, that you're transformed into the image of God by His word. His word has transforming power. Amen. And if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, His word is going forth today to increase faith in the atmosphere. How many know that there's somebody in here today that really needs your faith? How many know that I need your faith? How many know that you need my faith? How many know that we need each other's faith? Come on, come on, come on. The Lord was showing me something the other day. When we gather together, if there's a healing, or there's a miracle, or there's someone that comes to Jesus, or whatever it may be, it's all part from everybody in the place because you brought your measure of faith. You worshiped and praised Him. You gave Him glory. He entered your praise and worship and filled the atmosphere, and then He came into hearts and lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited about the God I serve, that everybody is valuable and everybody is important. Amen. The ones in the front, the ones that are behind, it doesn't matter. Every part's important. So in Luke chapter 18, the reason I'm going here in the images, the Lord has called us to reach the captives and to set the prisoners free. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. I'm not all that God wants me to be, but I'm nothing where I was, okay? He that's begun a good work is faithful to see it through to completion. Amen. Remember that we're all a work in progress. Remember that no one has arrived yet. Right. Amen. If you arrived, you're already in the presence of God. If you're still here, He's still working on you. Amen. Amen. And if you get to the point where you don't think He can do anything in you, you're in a bad place. Because you made yourself God, and God doesn't share His glory with anyone. Amen. And He says here, Jesus gives us an illustration in Luke 18, a parable of a Pharisee and a sinner, a publican. And verse number 9, He said, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Jesus said, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Amen. Let's not, what the Lord is saying is, let's not get too high of an image of ourselves that we can't minister to anybody in this world. Amen. God didn't call any of us to look down our nose at anyone. Amen. Every time I meet somebody, the Lord reminds me where he found me. He found me in the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So he says in Revelation 3, Jesus, again, I love the words of Jesus. Amen. He reminds us of the images we're speaking about. Everything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God is the image I'm speaking about. In Revelation 3, verse number 15, Jesus says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Amen. In other words, what he is saying to us, we're casting down imaginations, the evil imaginations, and every high thought that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God. Amen. What I've tried to do early in ministry, and I've shared it before and I'll share it again, what I tried to do early in ministry, I was getting so worn out, I was getting so burned out because I was trying to change people. And I was getting so weary and worn out, I was ready to throw in the towel and I was ready to quit because I wasn't seeing what I thought I should see. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, and God said to me, he said, son, who called you to change anyone? I called you to tell them about me. I'm the one that changes their lives. Amen. It's his battle, not ours. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we're casting all of our cares upon him, for we know that he cares for every one of us. Amen. So we're casting down imaginations, every evil imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, the images, amen, that don't align with the word of God. And we're bringing into captivity every thought. To that, to me, that is the imprisoning. How many know this thing is always thinking? How many know that this mind field that we have is always going to places it shouldn't go? Come on, come on, come on. We try to bring it under captivity, but we're trying to do this, but we're failing in areas. Amen. But the Lord says that one of the reasons we're failing is we're not trusting him fully to allow him to do it. He says to us in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, I don't know if y'all know it or not, but this is really some pretty good teaching. You know why I know it's good teaching? Because it's from the Lord, and it's from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is speaking. And God brought you here because you had to hear what he had to say. Amen. Because he has a plan and a purpose in every life. Amen. That he's chosen you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like. So the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. In other words, every time I'm trying to deal with this in the flesh and not in the spirit, I'm not going to please God. That's why he reminds us. And you'll hear me use this scripture a lot because I believe it, and I use it in my life so much. The Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God reminds you and I, when our thoughts are going the wrong way, or evil imaginations, these images are coming up to bring the thought into captivity, if we try to do it in the natural, we fail. But through the help of the Holy Ghost, through the help of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And he that dwells in you shall quicken your mortal body. And the mortal part of our body we're talking about is our minds. This minefield where the enemy is constantly setting booby traps. Amen. Let me say this to you. I want you to get a hold of this. In our battle in life, in our walk in life, anytime we put a face on it, we lose the battle. Anytime you're wrestling or fighting with somebody and you start fighting with the individual or the person or the face, you're going to lose the battle because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen. No matter what they did, no matter where they come from, it doesn't matter. I'm battling in a spiritual battle. I'm not in a flesh battle. God didn't call us to be the army of God to go out and kill people like the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps. God called us to fight a spiritual battle. Amen. A spiritual battle that's overcome in the natural by the Spirit of God. Amen. So he says to you and I in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul reminds us in verse 12. Are y'all with me? He says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now we're talking about the mind, the thoughts. Yet he himself is judge of no man. We're not judging people. Remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you. I didn't deserve to be saved, but for by grace I was saved by faith. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast, that he's given it to us freely. Amen. So the apostle would say in Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 3. The apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to you and I? Through his word, he is saying that we're to casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to what? To the obedience of Christ. And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about was the impartation, in closing, the impartation. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 11, he says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established.
Where you go, I'll go.
That
where
this,
you stay, I'll stay.
That I may be
when you move,
together
I'll
with
move.
You
I will follow.
By the mutual faith.
Trust in you alone, higher than
just as
my
the Paul says, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:12, we want to join our faith with your faith so that you can be able to pass. The Bible said Jesus made it simple. He said, as
you
and me as touching
you,
it shall be done.
I'll
stay.
When you move, I'll move.
And even bowing is a mindset. If the adversary has been setting mindsets for you, and this message is speaking to you, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to take a stand, because God wants us to take a stand. If that is you, I'd like you to take a stand. Just stand up if that is you. You've been battlefield. There's been a battle going on in your mind, in your mind field. Hallelujah. Amen. We lift our hands to heaven. Father, I'm standing in agreement. I'm coming in agreement with each and every one that has their hands raised today. Father, you see the battlefield. You see the battle that they've been facing in their minds, Father God. And that their imaginations have been going and things have been exalting itself above you, Father God. But Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, as my faith agrees with their faith, as two agree, as touching anything they ask, Father God, I command the thoughts to come into the captivity, to the obedience of Christ in Jesus' name. I'm not asking them to. I'm standing in agreement in faith, believing that they have the mind of Christ, and Christ, you will guide and direct their steps. The steps of a good man or a good woman have been ordered by you, and they find delight in their way. I bind every lie the enemy has spoken that's stolen their joy, that's taken their peace, that's taken their well-being from them in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we praise you, and we give you glory that you said it, and we believe it. And we're coming in agreement in faith and giving you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' matchless name. The Word of God says for you and I in Philippians chapter 4. You get there. Hallelujah. Right now I speak this over you. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The word to you is, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Now I want you to do is I want you to give the Lord thanks for touching your mind. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah.
Be still.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is a healer.
You may be seated one moment.
His
we'll get back up.
Is deeper
this is a,
than
this is a morning exercise.
His mercy.
We're exercising faith.
Is unfailing.
The Bible also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Fortress for the
how shall they call upon him and who do not believe? How shall they believe in him and who do not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be saved? God sent you a word today. And maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe one time you knew him, but you're not in the place you need to be. And you feel the Lord drawing you back. Would you slip into him? So that's what I need to do.
As I pour
not the place
heart,
I need to be.
These things I remember.
Thank you, Lord, that you're
you are faithful.
Father, I just lift up Derek to you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. You see his heart. You're ministering to him today, Father God. And as he's praised this prayer, Father God, it's not a prayer to us, it's a prayer to you. So as you praise this prayer, Father God, refresh him and renew him. Spirit dwell and pray within him in a supernatural way. Derek, repeat it and say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose in the grave. You paid the price. Purchase me.
Let faith arise.
Father, forgive me my sins. Write my name.
I lift my hands to believe again.
Say,
you are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe.
Right, we're not done.
Again, you are my